graphic memory, Olive takes up our story. Olive, just to let our listeners know, and you won't mind me telling them, you're not all that young these days, are you?
I'm 88.
You told me of a first ferry ever across the Towey.
It is where Sainsbury's is now.
Yes.
Across to where Weaver's is. But of course they've altered the course of the river. And I think it was in 1835 that happened. They altered to make the North Dock. And put a bridge over St. Thomas, which was a halfpenny toll.
Now, you were born and bred in Green Hill area of Swansea, was it? What took you over to St. Thomas then in the first place?
My father looking for work in the lead works. He was on the furnaces.
So you saw some very hard times over there.
Very.
Now, what are your first memories of St. Thomas? How old would you have been?
Four or five.
So you started growing up there as a child.
Yes.
Where were you living?
In Foxhall Road.
And what, for our benefit of our listeners, is that near to the river then?
The nearest to the river.
Where did you go to school?
St. Thomas School.
And where did you go to church?
Kilbay Church. I have been a member of the Mothers' Union for 60 years.
So you grew up and you went to school. What time did you leave school? What age?
14.
What did you do?
I went into service as a maid in the Uplands.
Times were hard then, were they?
No, yes.
What did you get? What were your wages?
5 shillings a week.
Did you live in the flat?
Oh, yes. The First World War started, and Swansea was the first volunteer battalion in Wales, so that all the men went to the forces.
How did you meet your husband, George?
My brother was taken ill with TB in the bowels. He couldn't walk, and he was getting on for 5 years old, and my father was most concerned about his education. So he went to the headmaster in St. Thomas School and he explained the situation. My brother couldn't walk to school, but my father wanted him educated. So the headmaster went to the classroom where the Foxhall boys were and said, "Boys, I want volunteers to bring Charlie Nichols to school, take him home, bring him back after lunch, take him back to tea." Piggyback. And all the boys volunteered, one after another. Every day they turned up and took Charlie to school. It was wonderful to see the boys with them. And so he became educated, he got better and educated. My father was so pleased about it.
How did you actually meet George, your husband?
Well, George is one of the boys who used to come back and pull the house. I went to school with George.
This is a childhood romance then?
Yes.
Right. Who popped the question, him or you?
It's agreed and that was it.
Now then, how did the ferry start again? Had you married George then? And was the ferry running?
No.
Right, tell us
about it. George's uncle had the ferry then. He had worked in White Rock. He was an old worker at White Rock. And he took on the job of doing the ferry. Ferry and the workmen back and forth.
This is how it started, is it? Do you have any idea what sort of dates we're talking about?
60 years it was in the family. It was about 1900 when Uncle Jack took over. And then George's father took over. And then George took over.
Tell me what you know about the ferry. When did it start?
It belonged to the Duke of Beaufort. And Lord Grenfell and the Vivians approached him and asked them about the ferry to start, and they wished to have the ferry. So he said, "Yes, but I want £1,000 compensation." So they took over the ferry, the two firms, the Copperworks and the Leadworks.
Let's get this straight. They bought what we would call the franchise to operate the ferry, which was originally started way, way back in that 13th century when it operated at a lower level.
Yes.
Right. Now, because these were industrialists, they had works on that site.
That's right.
Why did they want it?
Well, to get their workmen back and put the works.
Where were their workers coming from? Both east side
and west. Abbott and Foxhall.
And what sort of works have we got there? What are we talking about now?
A lead works.
A lead works.
And the copper works.
Copper works.
Lord Grenfell owned the copper works. The Vivians owned the lead works. Now they lived in Singleton Abbey. Lord Grenfell had a mansion in St. Thomas. called My Steakhouse. I remember being in a concert in My Steakhouse in 1914, an outdoor concert for comfort for the troops in the First World War.
Let's just go back to the ferry. So they wanted it to bring their workers back and forth. How was the ferry a shortcut? Where would you have had to walk?
Round town.
Right round.
To St. Thomas.
Ah, right. So, I mean, it was what, a good half hour, three quarters of an hour's walk?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And how long would it take you to cross on the ferry?
3-4 minutes.
How
unless the tide was in, then it was way up.
How big was this ferry?
Oh, near a little rowboat.
How many would it carry?
6 to 8.
And how was it operated? By oars or by sculling?
Sculling. My husband sculled.
What time did it start in the morning?
6:30.
And did it go through the whole day or just to coincide with the work shifts?
We went through the whole day. My father-in-law did the morning. My husband did the afternoon and the evening. Finished at 7. Then it was open again 9:45 for the 10 o'clock shift.
Any idea how many he would carry, how many that would carry in the course of the day? Are we talking about a few hundred?
I should think so.
We've seen the Lord Grenville and the other gentry owning the franchise. Did they employ the Clark family to run it?
Yes. White Rock employed George. White Rock.
So that was technically his job?
That was his job.
Who kept the halfpenny or the penny tolls that they paid?
Well, George kept it.
Well, George kept that as well?
And handed over.
So in fact, he probably would have made more money out of the tolls than he would be paid his wage.
That's right.
Any idea what his wages were?
25 shillings a week. His father paid him for that.
1963.
I don't know how much his father had, but that's what George had, 25 shillings.
Was it only the workers, or would they take other people?
Oh, they'd take other passengers as well. There's a lot of shoppers went to Cromer. And they would cross the boat, go up the boat lane, up to the Harvard Inn, and take a tram down to town.
Where exactly was the crossing? Now, if, you know, put me as a stranger, trying to find out where the two stations were. Where would I catch the boat on St. Thomas?
Not on St. Thomas. You'd have to come up to Vauxhall and the Harvard, yes.
Now, where in the Harvard would I go?
Marathon Street, then the boat lane.
Would he wait for the boat to fill before he took the over? Or did it run to a timetable?
It ran back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Whether there was anybody in it or not?
That's right.
Now, you say the river was sort of more dangerous then, was it?
Oh, yes.
What happened to the river? Was it diverted or what?
No, not there. Further down it was diverted.
It was diverted, yes.
Yes, you know it was the new cut. Well, they call it the new cut now. The new cut bridge.
Do you remember the ships coming up that river?
Oh, yes.
You do?
Yes. They used to come up for the patent manure, in the patent manure works. They used to stink. And the clay boats from Caldwell used to come up. It was very busy at one time. There was a lot of tugs up and down the river. Take it all up to the works.
Of this little White Rock ferry.
Yes, I used it many times.
Why did you use it?
Well, to get across to Pentecreese, Bony Mine. Was it to walk around would be a very long way, probably about 4 months, 5 months.
You would have been where then?
In the same street, I am now Field Street.
Field Street,
yeah.
So if you want to get over to the St. Thomas area, it meant you walking down?
Walked out of Marathon Street,
yeah.
And would sit down and come to the ferry at the bottom.
And if you didn't take the ferry, you had to walk?
I had to walk all the way around into Swansea, along Cleveland Way, and back up Fox Road.
And then where would you have crossed the river actually down there?
Well, it was a main river bridge. It was a swing bridge as well, because it used to be a north dock, and they used to open the bridge for the ships to come in the dock.
Did you pay toll fee to cross that bridge?
No, not across the bridge.
That was free.
Not across the bridge, that's just free.
But it would have cost you a good, what, half an hour and three quarters of an hour?
An hour, I should think.
You found this little ferry very, very useful.
Oh, yes. I'd go across the other side, because I had a friend who worked and works with me. Quick street to go over was across the ferry.
So, from this little house where you're living now in Field Street, you walked down to Marathon Street?
I walked down to Marathon Street.
Was there some sort of a little station there, or...?
No, nothing at all. It's just a rough track down to the river.
This one here?
The ferry boat crossing would be just moored there, like, you know.
Would you call for them, or would they just ply
it? Well, sometimes they might be across the other side, you'd wait to come back. If they were, they'd be a little hut, if I remember right, alongside the boat. They would stay tied up until they had customers coming.
Oh, so you had to wait until the boat was sorted out?
Sometimes, if it was only one, you'd take it, but they'd usually wait a bit to see if other people are coming as well, to make more people in the journey.
Now, what did it cost?
If I remember right, about a penny.
Was that a return ticket?
Oh, yes.
Actually, penny isn't all that cheap when we're talking
about. Oh, no. As a young man, I was earning 5 shillings a week with the bakers round.
Yeah, so it was fairly expensive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, when you look at it like that. Yeah. What did you do? Sit down in this boat? Or
yes, you just where you sat for a few minutes.
Would they sing you songs and very basic?
Nothing, just a short journey, and you might have a chat with the ferryman. What sort of day is it, things like that, or where are you going to, what time are you coming back? But there's nothing much more than that. You wanted the boat long enough to do any more talking.
How long did the ferry take?
Oh, about 3 minutes or more.
They had
a rope, like a hose or something, across from both sides of the river.
Hopefully I'll get it on this now, Ken.
They did a hose as well for rowing, but if the current's really strong, they could never row against the current.
Because we tend to forget, this river was in far more flood than it is now.
It's static now, because they stopped the tidal flow.
Did you like it, or did you curse this ferry that your husband was condemned to?
No, I was telling him to give it up all the time.
Why was that?
Because the wages were small. It was a job to live on them. Getting a job to live on them. But he was called up to the forces. And he went to the forces. And I was for 6 years on my own with 6 children.
What happened to the ferry in the meantime?
A boatman took it over from the docks. But it was a different type of work to what he was used to. The river was different to the docks, much different. In fact, there was a boy drowned Christmas Eve, 1942. He was a little apprentice from Aaron Thomas, and he was drowned. The river was in floods, and he was washed away. George was let home on leave, and they asked him, they couldn't find the body. And they asked him, where would he be? So George could pinpoint exactly where he'd be, with the currents of the river. He knew it like the back of his hand.
When he came back from the war, he took the job up again, didn't he?
He went to Dawnies in King's Dock.
So you said goodbye to the river, the ferry across the river, what?
In 1942.
42. Was it still running after that?
Yes, with this boatman. Oh, not for long.
What memories have you got? Have you got any nice memories about this ferry?
I remember a row of houses along the river bank, and I remember we didn't have a midwife in the area, but there was an old lady. She used to come out when she was called. Her name was Sarah Thomas. She'd come out, but only if she had a jug of beer alongside her.
Yeah.
Any trouble, and then she'd call the doctor. But she delivered nearly all the children in Foxwood.
Safely?
Safely.
Any other characters connected, Donna?
Billy Sook, the tramp. He was begging around the doors all day. Everybody was maggy with him. Then the boys out of work used to call for Tommy Edgar. I started to call about him. Tommy was full of arthritis. He held a lead. They used to bring him piggyback down the boat. But Tommy was in charge of the kettle and the teapot. Tommy made tea all day. Yes, he was good, old Tommy was. He had to be taken into Towie Lodge, but he couldn't move for arthritis. But you'd laugh ever so the boys tried to carry him down piggyback, and he was a stout man, good man. And they struggled down with him. They sat him by the fire. He was in charge of the kettle and the teapot. Always a mug of tea there ready, and the George came in and soaked him wet from the river and the wet. Always a mug of tea for him.
Church.
Yes.
You've seen such poverty?
I have seen such poverty.
You've seen hardship?
Oh, yes.
You've seen men suffering?
Oh, yes.
You yourself have suffered?
Oh, yes.
And you still say there was a good God?
Oh, yes. Keep faith always. My grandmother was an Irish woman. She was a Protestant from Northern Ireland, but she was very religious. Very religious. She came down from Liverpool to Swansea by coaster. Grandfather met her because she wasn't very well in Liverpool. But in fact, he didn't like the family. He brought her down to Swansea. He met her at the North Dock and took her to a place called Frog Street, which is at the back, was at the back of St. Mary's Church then. She didn't like it. So she moved to Mansleton and she lived there for 2 years. Grandfather went to sea. She died and left 3 children. Her neighbours took them in. And that was hardship. Because the woman who took them in was a drunkard. And she neglected them, sadly neglected them.
Did you see a lot of drunkenness?
Oh, yes.
Why did they drink to escape?
The misery, I expect.
That's been divided up into flats.
New roads and bridges had to make it a thing of the past. My very sincere thanks to Mrs. Olive Clark for her help, advice and cooperation, and of course to Reg Griffin. This program was edited and produced by Philip Stephen, and I'm Mike Finlan, thanking you, our listeners, for being there. Good night.